Hello, and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio. Your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Thursday, May 9th, and we start with local news. Columbia Fire and Rescue has announced this morning that a fuel tanker has overturned on Highway 31 and caused a hazardous material spill affecting all lanes. Highway 31 between Baker Road and Carter's Creek Pike will likely be closed most of the day today while crews perform cleanup operations. Drivers will need to seek an alternate route. Bear Creek Pike is currently open this morning following yesterday's storms. Speaking of storms, a tornado touched down in Murray County in eastern Columbia off Bear Creek Pike yesterday evening at around 5:45 p.m., resulting in one death, according to Murray Regional Medical Center. Four others were injured after a confirmed tornado by the National Weather Service ripped through eastern Columbia as heavy storms brought hail, rain, high winds, and flying debris to other parts of Murray County and Middle Tennessee on Wednesday. A shelter station was set up for displaced Columbia families at Riverside Elementary School located at 203 Carter Street. Murray County Emergency Management officials said at a 9 p.m. media briefing after announcing Murray County Public Schools will be closed today, Thursday. At the briefing, Murray County Director of Emergency Management, Jeff Hardy, said buses were made available to transport affected families and a command post was set up at Murray County Fire Station No. 10, located at 1520 Lacia Road, for anyone seeking assistance. Trees down and debris scattered along Bear Creek Pike led authorities to close the dangerous roadway from Tom J. Hitch Parkway to I-65, Murray County Office of Emergency Management confirmed. Columbia Power and Water Services also confirmed the storms knocked out a portion of the city's power grid, which interim Columbia Fire Chief Chris Cummins said at the briefing would likely take a few days to completely restore. Columbia Power and Water Systems reported Wednesday 1,200 people were without power, while Duck River Electric, serving multiple counties that include Coffee, Franklin, Bedford, Moore, Marshall, Giles, and Murray counties, reported 14,600 customers without power. In the meantime, Cummins asked that residents avoid the affected areas, as well as travelers from out of town coming into the city, while cleanup crews work to assess the damage. "We do have extensive damage to the power grid, which is another reason we need people to stay out of the affected area," Cummins said. Cummins added that he and his crews were watching live as the tornado formed and touched down. "We have a camera on top of the station that streams to Tennessee Valley weather, and we were actually here watching that wall cloud come down," Cummins said. The Office of Emergency Management confirmed soon after the storms Wednesday that a tornado touched down on Bear Creek Pike in eastern Columbia and swept through Joe Brown Road. "We are currently assessing the damage caused by recent storms in our area. Emergency crews are on the ground, but we urge everyone to stay out of the areas hit and remain weather aware," Hardy said in a previous media release on Wednesday at about 7:50 last night. Hardy said the office is assessing many damage reports. In a press conference this morning, Hardy stated that volunteers are not currently needed, as professional emergency response staff are still working the area, conducting search and rescue and cleanup operations. "Volunteers will be needed in the coming days," he said. "If you would like to donate monetary assistance, you can do so by visiting www.murraycounty-tn.gov. City Manager Tony Massey said the City of Columbia is pooling all of its resources during this time of need. "We have all of Columbia Police out there at this time, as well as our fire department and all personnel to clear the roadways," Massey said. "There has been an extraordinary amount of cooperation from the multi-jurisdictions working together here tonight," he said. Massey said that while the damage was swift and will take a lot of work to clear up, other major parts of the city were fortunately spared. "As bad as this is, it almost touched down in downtown Columbia," Massey said. "When it all started, we were like, this isn't a matter of if, but when." Tennessee Highway Patrol has asked citizens to stay away from the affected areas. WKOM will continue to monitor the situation, and we will update you as more information is available. The Maury County Sheriff's Office yesterday announced that the identity of a Jane Doe from a missing persons case from the 1970s has been identified through the use of modern DNA science. On February 14, 1975, two hunters found skeletal remains on Joe Brown Road in eastern Maury County near I-65. Forensic examination in 1975 by Dr. William Bass at the University of Tennessee Department of Anthropology determined that the remains were that of a black female between the age of 17 and 21. The remains have been stored at the University of Tennessee Department of Anthropology in Knoxville since that time. Over the years, the case has been looked at many times. DNA samples have been taken and examined, but no clues to the identity were ever discovered. In 2012, Lieutenant Jerry Williams began looking at the case again and revived efforts to identify the remains. He had more forensic tests done and re-interviewed as many people as possible. Many people that were connected to the case in 1975 are now deceased. Numerous tips and leads were chased of missing persons that fit the description, but none matched. In 2019, the Maury County Sheriff's Department began working with DNA Doe Project. DNA Doe Project is a volunteer-driven, nonprofit 501c3 organization with the mission to identify John and Jane Does and return them to their families. Their donors provided funding for new DNA testing and research by genetic genealogists to start work on tracing the genealogy of the Jane Doe of 1975. It took the efforts of four labs over 3 years to successfully create a DNA profile, which was uploaded to GEDmatch.com in 2022. A distant match was found of a possible relative, and the family tree began to be built. Volunteer genetic genealogists spent more than 530 hours building the family tree. In April of 2024, DNA Doe Project provided a potential sibling. After making contact with the sibling, the sheriff's office was able to confirm that she was a full sibling by DNA match. The matching person relayed that she had a sister that went missing in the fall of 1974, but was never officially reported as missing. Her sister was a black female, 19 years old. The family had been searching for her since that time. All other siblings are accounted for. It has been determined through DNA that the remains are that of 19-year-old Annie Carolyn Jenkins of Memphis, Tennessee. She had been visiting with relatives in Chicago in the fall of 1974. She left Chicago on a flight bound for Tennessee. This was the last known contact with her family. Her remains were recovered in Maury County in February of 1975. Her remains will be returned to her family now, who have been searching for her for 49 years. This remains an open homicide investigation. Sheriff Bucky Rowland would like to extend thanks to Detective Keith Rather, Lieutenant Jerry Williams, who's now retired, Gina Rather, genetic genealogist, and all the others that have worked on this case over the years since 1975, and a special thanks to DNA Doe Project, their volunteers and donors, who made this identification possible. The Maury County Commission and Maury County School Board met this month to discuss the possibility of opening a future facility to serve as a central office for both entities. The Maury County Commission currently holds its meetings and main operations at the northeast corner of the downtown Columbia Square, while the Maury County Public Schools headquarters at 501 East 8th Street and conducts meetings at the Horace O. Porter School at College Hill. Having a central office is a need of ours and something that we've needed for a while because we are out of space, School Board Chair Will Sims said. We are in an old building that's been retrofitted to work, and we make it work, but it's not exactly what we would build to house a central office, he said. The idea to combine county and school operations under one facility has been a topic of discussion going back many years. This was the first time both boards could join together in more than a year to discuss how or if a project like this could be accomplished. This would not only involve locating the right property, but also coming to a mutual agreement that this would indeed be the best solution for both parties as well as the community. There is a really strong desire to move forward with this, School Board Vice Chair Jackson Carter said. I think it benefits everybody in the community for us to do something somewhere, and it makes an insane amount of sense to place our school and county offices in close proximity. That way, if someone has business, you know where to find us, he said. Board members spent much of the meeting discussing the potential benefits in addition to having county and school under one building. For one, the new facility would address the county's current office space issues and allow for an estimated 26 additional classrooms for students, Maury County Superintendent Lisa Ventura said. These are employees that are countywide, but we don't have any space for them at our central office, Ventura said. They have classroom space that we are using as offices, sometimes with multiple people in those classrooms. Other than Highland Park and Baker, I can't think of a building that does not house a countywide staff member that we wouldn't pull up into this complex, she said. County Commissioner Ray Jeter added that, much like Maury County Public Schools, the county also operates in an older building that, quote, we've made work, but that ongoing maintenance is becoming much harder, not to mention more expensive. I think this is a great idea and has the potential to save a lot of money, Jeter said. We are going to have to build these buildings in Maury County at a certain point in time in its history, a very soon history. Whatever it looks like, it's a benefit to the county, a benefit to the people of Maury County, he said. No votes were taken during Wednesday's meeting, but a few properties were considered, such as the former McDowell Elementary School property at 714 West 7th Street. Another issue was whether the facility should be one building or split into two, with one serving for the county and the other for schools. A move to a new facility would also open up real estate in the downtown square, which could open opportunities for new businesses and expansion, especially as the new Maury County Judicial Center continues to develop. To me, I'm really concerned as we make decisions moving into the future of selling this 25% of the square and what it does to our downtown businesses, Commissioner Gabe Howard said. It's 35,000 square feet sitting on 23 acres, and if you're really good at throwing a baseball, you can from three of the largest schools in Maury County, Howard said. It also has a pool system that is primarily used by schools in Maury County, he said. While I'm all in on selling the 25% of the square, we need revenue-generating businesses. That's property tax, that's sales tax, personal tangible property, lots of tax revenue generated on the square. Hopefully, we can get a boutique hotel here in our downtown district, he said. Howard added that another potential property to consider could be the Muletown Rec facility at 1446 Oak Springs Drive. At the meeting's conclusion, board members took a poll for three suggested locations, though no official vote was cast. However, all school board and commission members said they would be in favor of the project in general. Potential sites proposed included the former McDowell Elementary School, the county parking lot at the intersection of East 7th and Woodland Streets, and a portion of property located off Tom J. Hitch Parkway. The McDowell property was clearly the winner, with 22 members voicing in favor, while two members were in favor of the county parking lot and one for the Tom J. Hitch property. For the second time in less than a year, the Mule House is scheduled to be sold at auction. A foreclosure auction for the Columbia Music Venue is scheduled for Friday, May 10th at 11 a.m. on the site located at 812 South High Street. The Mule House was scheduled to be sold at auction in June of 2023, but that auction was canceled after owners Blair Garner and Eric Garner filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The Garner said at the time that filing was intended to allow for a reorganization. The bankruptcy case was dismissed in February of 2024 at the request of the U.S. bankruptcy trustee after the owners failed to file monthly reports, according to court records. That dismissal also forbade the Mule House owners from filing bankruptcy again for a period of 1 year. The Mule House's website currently lists no upcoming events, with the last listing being a May 4th concert by an Eagles tribute band. According to Ron Ramsey and Associates, the Mule House venue is scheduled to be sold, as well as a separate brick building formerly used as the church's education wing. Initial votes on Columbia's 2024-2025 budget and property tax rates will highlight the upcoming meeting at the City Council this week. The meeting will take place tonight, Thursday, May 9th at 5:30 p.m. in the City Hall Council Chambers on North Garden Street and is open to the public. Council members will have the first reading and votes on the city's budget for the upcoming fiscal year, which begins July 1. If approved, a second vote and public hearing will take place at June's meeting. The city's property tax rate of 8 and a quarter cents per $100 of assessed value will remain unchanged from the previous year, according to the city's website. Three proposed rezonings will also have public hearings. One would move four lots off West 12th and Haley Streets to CD4, or General Urban Character, to allow for the building of townhomes, and will be up for a second reading. The Planning Commission recommended approval by a 5-1 vote in March, and the City Council gave initial approval in April. The other rezonings are up for first reading and would have two lots on Galloway Street and a lot on Woodside Street to CD4 for residential development and were unanimously recommended by the Planning Commission. Another ordinance up on first reading would revoke the planned unit development overlay on a property on Baker Road and rezone it to CD3L, or Neighborhood Large Lot Character District, and CD2, Rural Character District. The CD2 zoning is consistent with the new Hillsides and Natural Spaces future land use designation in the updated Connect Columbia plan that was adopted earlier this year. The new concept plan reflects 65 lots, which is a reduction from the previous approved Coulter Place Planned Urban Development Master Plan of 144 lots. The classification and compensation plan for city employees for the 2024-25 fiscal year will be up for a first vote. This year's plan adjusts the salary ranges by 5% and adds a number of new positions, including a GIS analyst in development services, an engineer 1 and engineer 2 in wastewater, a system administrator in MIS, and a staff accountant in the finance city recorder's office. Other changes include making the administrative assistant in the city manager's office full-time. Budget items up for votes include two amendments to the 2023-24 budget, $32,308 for a 2024 JAG grant in police, and $698,678 in fire and air PACs. Columbia Fire and Rescue has requested approval for the acquisition of a 2024 KME K180 rescue pumper truck for $750,000 after the council approved up to $900,000 in 2023. Engineering services for the Royal Oaks Sewer Basin Improvement Project, $74,000, and the relocation of gravity sewer mains at Bear Creek Pike and Nashville Highway, $100,000, will also be up for approval. The council will also vote upon an agreement between the city and Waste Management for the disposal of biosolids from the wastewater treatment plant at the Cedar Ridge Landfill in Marshall County. The new rate will be $55 per ton. Columbia Fire and Rescue is also seeking approval for the lease of a Safe Haven baby box to be placed at Fire Station 1 on South Garden Street. A baby box is a safety device provided under Tennessee Safe Haven law and legally permits a parent in a crisis to safely, securely, and anonymously surrender his or her newborn. The box has an exterior door that automatically locks upon placement of a newborn inside and an interior door which allows a medical staff member to secure the newborn from inside the building. Similar boxes have been placed in other Tennessee cities, including Nashville and Hendersonville. And now your hometown memorials, sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Kimberly Lee Elliott Brown Brewer, 67, a resident of Columbia, died Friday, May 3rd at her residence. A celebration of life will be held on Thursday, May 9th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. The family suggests memorials may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Online condolences may be extended at www.oaksandnichols.com. Ty David Smithson, 33, a resident of Spring Hill, died unexpectedly on Sunday, May 5th in Williamson County. Funeral services will be conducted on Saturday, May 11th at 4 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. The family will visit with friends on Saturday from 12 till the time of the service at the funeral home. Kenneth P. Lord III, 81, a resident of Williamsport, passed away on May 1st. A memorial service will be conducted on Saturday, May 18th at 2 p.m. at Williamsport United Methodist Church. Burial will follow in Williamsport Cemetery with military honors provided by the United States Army. The family will visit with friends on Saturday, May 18th from 1 p.m. until the time of the service at the church. Hometown Memorials is sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home, serving with dignity and consideration for over 150 years.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here. To serve Murray County families in the ways they prefer. and why your satisfaction is so important to Jeff Hargrove and Susie Sowell.
There's a great deal of satisfaction in serving a family and serving them well. It's an eye for detail and thoughtfulness and taking the time to see that things are done right.
We do have nice facilities and good people, and we work hard to do things well, but we don't want that to intimidate people as to what they think it will cost. Taking care of you is our primary concern.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have thunderstorms early, followed by clearing skies and sun in the afternoon hours. The high will be 84 degrees, with winds out of the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, we can expect some clouds and a low of 56. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Here we go.
Debbie Matthews grew up and lives in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. As a realtor, she is well-versed in homes, neighborhoods, development, and schools. She wants to share her love of her home state with others to help them find just the right place to raise a family, open a business, or develop a dream. From luxury listings to land, she can handle it all. She is the current leading producer, Nashville Realty Group. Contact Debbie Matthews Realtor at 615-476-3224. That's 615-476-3224.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine, too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
We all live very busy lives. Sometimes we just need a break. Wouldn't it be nice to have an extra pair of hands to help out? Let me introduce you to New Dawn Cleaning Service. No job is too big or too small because they do it all, from residential to commercial. They offer standard cleaning, construction cleaning, carpet shampooing, and window cleaning. Whether you are looking for a one-time service or regular schedule cleaning plan, New Dawn is ready to help. With years of experience, you can relax, kick back, and call New Dawn Cleaning Service at 615-977-6901.
The Tennessee Lottery congratulates this year's graduates from all the colleges and universities across the state. Your achievements set the stage for a brighter tomorrow. We're happy to have helped along the way by raising more than $7 billion for education and funding over 1.9 million scholarships and grants, including Hope Scholarships, Tennessee Promise, and much more. Visit DNLottery.com to see how our proceeds support successful futures.
Hey there, you don't know me, but I was standing behind you the other morning in line, remember? You thought about buying that Tennessee Lottery instant game, but changed your mind. Well, I just wanted to say thank you. I bought it and won big. Pretty annoying, right? But don't worry. I'll bring you back a t-shirt from the Bahamas.
Don't miss your chance to win up to $500,000 with the new May Instant Games. Plus, earn 5x VIP rewards points on all multiplier games in May, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7, your hometown source for news and information. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. Tennessee's senior U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn is celebrating President Joe Biden signing into law the Revising Existing Procedures on Reporting via Technology, or REPORT Act, which will strengthen online safeguards for children. The law updates requirements for tech companies, including social media platforms like Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram, to report to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children when they become aware of violations involving the online sexual exploitation of children. Specifically, the legislation also increases the amount of time from 90 days to 1 year that a provider must preserve the contents of a report. It also requires providers to report apparent violations involving the sexual exploitation of children to instances involving child sex trafficking or coercion or enticement of a minor to engage in prostitution or any other illegal sexual activity, as well as increasing fines for providers who fail to submit reports. Blackburn said that social media companies will be subject to regular reviews to ensure that the new law is being followed. In talking with judges and prosecutors in Tennessee, we realized that there were some things that could be made to broaden the way this information was kept and transmitted, and that length of time, and it would be helpful to getting these people prosecuted and then getting them imprisoned, Blackburn told reporters in a virtual press conference. The REPORT Act earned endorsements from the NCMEC, as well as from the International Justice Mission, Fraternal Order of Police, Child Fund International, and others. President Biden signed the legislation into law on Tuesday, just over 1 year after the legislation was introduced on Capitol Hill and championed by both Blackburn and Georgia Democratic Senator John Ossoff. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff, or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Looking for a physician? Choosing a healthcare provider for your family is one of the most important decisions you will make. Murray Regional Medical Group delivers primary care for individuals of all ages, from newborns to adults, and has an array of specialists ranging from endocrinologists to urologists. With locations in Murray, Lewis, Marshall, and Wayne counties, our experienced team can provide you with quality care close to home. For more information, visit MurrayRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Murray Regional Medical Group. Your health is our primary care.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street, across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. The City of Columbia Parks and Recreation Department will launch Chalk the Walk at Riverwalk Park on May 23rd from 2:30 to 4 p.m. All ages are welcome. Come on down to Riverwalk Park Splash Pad to celebrate the end of the school year. Get your graffiti art vibes flowing with sidewalk chalk all around the splash pad. Riverwalk Park is located at 102 Riverside Drive. For more information, check out Armory Recreation and Fitness on Facebook or call Christina Walls at 931-698-0088. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting, WKOM, WKRM Radio. I'll be back tomorrow to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe and have a great day.